If you've got a Bible, I want you to turn this morning with me, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And I'd like us to stand this morning and read, just in honour to God and in honour to his word. I'd like us to stand Deuteronomy 28, and we'll start at verse 1. If you haven't got a Bible, just put your hand up. Someone will come and give you a Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. If you'd like to stand, please, just in honour to God and his word. Verse 1, it says, "If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands that I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. And all these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks, your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he has given you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you an oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And all the peoples on earth will see that you are called by my name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground, in the land he swore to your forefathers to give you. The Lord will open up the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. And you will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail, if you'll pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them. You will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them." Thank you. Please take your seats. Power of God's word and the blessings of God. I want to talk about this morning just the principle of being blessed. And I'm going to ask it again. Are you blessed? Have you been blessed? Has God blessed you over this last year? I've been looking at how well we know God. We know that God is a God of love. He's a God of hope. He's a God of comfort. He's a God of grace. He's a God of anger, mercy, jealousy. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's the God of judgment and righteousness and holiness. We know him as Jehovah Jireh. We'll have experienced that many times over this last year. Our Jehovah Tsidkenu, our Jehovah Rapha. He's the great Elohim. He's the great Adonai. He's our Yahweh. But in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 11, Paul is speaking here and he says, "The glory of the gospel of the blessed God." So God is blessed. He's blessed in himself. And I've been looking to see, what does this actually mean? He's not just the source of blessing. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He has essential blessedness, essential happiness. He is perfection. He has it all. He owns it all. He is all. He owns it all together. He holds it all together. And he is the God who has got everything. Every blessing that you and I have and receive comes from him. Wow. Your work, your bank balance, your children, your friends, everything is from God. Every blessing is from him. The glory of the gospel of the blessed God. Listen to the Beatitudes, and I'm sure you know these. You might have even studied these over the years. Blessed are you. In the Greek, it means happy, happy, happy. So God is kind of happiness in himself. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. But God is a blessed, happy, happy God. So when we read the Beatitudes, it really reads, happy, happy, happy are you who are poor in spirit. And we're going to be looking at this. This is really exciting. Looking at a blessed life and then looking at a blessed church. He is full of joy and rejoicing. Listen to these words in John 15. Oh, that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be made full. So blessed is a God happiness that doesn't rely upon circumstances. That's why you and I, when we go through trials and difficulties, we kind of know that God is working it through for us. He's blessing us in that. I think it's in James chapter 1. When you go through trials, then count it as a real blessing because God's at work in your life. John 3:16. Everybody knows this. I think it's one of the early memory verses from a long time ago in Sunday school. For God so loved the world that he gave. I don't know if you, sometimes I don't think we're aware of this all the time, but as soon as we wake up in the morning, God is abounding towards us in his grace and his love and his mercy. And he's pouring out upon us, laying love upon us all the time, every day, even when we're not aware of that. It's just, it's mind-blowing that the God who is happy in himself actually blesses us. But in doing that, he gives to us. He is giving to us constantly, all the time. The God who is blessed in himself, for God so loved the world that he gave. And as I've been looking at this lovely word of blessed, the blessed God, the God who constantly gives to us all the time, how does that really affect me? How does that affect us? I've been thinking that just even recently, God is not tight-fisted. But I have realized this, that people who give have really got the heart of God. Whether that's time or finances or themselves. People who give have really got the very heart of God. Let me just share something with you. We went through, not too long ago, of a real struggle financially. And let me just say this. Some of the things that I've learned through this time, and you'll have gone through your own struggles, is that finance, having finance, is a test from God. We went through a time where I was pastor of a church, Ruth was on the staff, the wage wasn't going up, it's not like in a normal kind of work, you're sort of on call 24 hours a day, there were no wage rise, and yet inflation was going up, and after a while, I found myself really struggling financially. And I could always tell when Ruth was worrying because she'd leave a trail of hair. I'm just joking, don't take that seriously. I couldn't stand to watch Ruth struggle. And I began to pray. And this went on for about 2 years. And in these 2 years, the debt were mounting up and I'm thinking, I can't go out and get a job. Ruth can't get a job because we were both working in the church. The wage wasn't too great. And as I began to pray, I said, God, I know that you've brought us here. So what are you teaching me? What are you doing? And God put within my mind a lump sum of money. And I thought, wow, I've never prayed like this before. But again, I began to pray and I began to pray. And after a few months, we received a check through the post from a couple within the church. And it was a check from them. And when I opened it, it was for the exact amount that I've been praying for. I'll tell you what it was. It was 50 grand. Okay? I've been praying for 50k. I've never prayed like that. And in this check, and there was a little note, and I'll never forget this. It said, Dear Pete, Ruth and Luke and Leah, we love you in the Lord. We want you to pay off your mortgage. P.S. The blessing is ours. I just sat and gave it to Ruth. We both sobbed a bit. Went to the couple because they told us never to mention their name, and I'm not going to mention their name. But we went to say thank you. So we kind of paid off quite a big chunk of our mortgage. And it was a massive relief. But I couldn't get over what he meant by P.S. the blessing is ours. And I went to see this guy. And I said, I don't really know what to say. I just want to say thank you. He said, did you praise God? I said, well, what do you think? He went, I know you would have done. And we did. We just want to say, Lord, thank you. And I said, what did you mean by that end bit? What did you mean by the blessing is ours? And he says, well, you know the word of God. You know what it says. It's more blessed to give than receive. And we were blessed by giving it. And all of a sudden it dawned upon me that this lovely couple, who were very, very wealthy, they just did this all the time. They kind of realized and knew that the way that God had blessed them, it wasn't theirs, it was theirs to hear God in what he was telling them to do. And I thought, wow, I don't know if I'd have done that. 50 grand. And it's something I never forgot. Out of that money, I had £250 left. And it was Christmas time. Do you know what I did? For the first time in my years of ministry, I took my whole family out and I paid. Woo-hoo! I paid. It's usually the people that were blessing us. But I remember going to the till and paying for this meal, and I'm stood there, and all of a sudden I got it. I felt so blessed. It was me giving back to my family, and God had given me a lovely privilege of doing that. There was a guy in Scotland years ago, he was a businessman, and he started off in his dad's shop as a butcher. And he got really into business, and then he up selling footwear. And this guy became really, really well known. I think he got the title of a lord. And I remember a few years ago, I watched him being interviewed on TV, and he shared his kind of life story. Now, he'd sort of had a Christian upbringing, but he wasn't a Christian, but he knew parts of the Bible. And right at the end of this interview, the interviewer said, what's been the most greatest thing that you've achieved? And this is what he said. He said, do you know something? Just recently, I have given to a charity. I've given millions away to a charity that I really love and admire. And he says, and when I gave that money away and I released it and I let it go, he said, I had more fulfillment in doing that than any business deal I have ever clinched in my business career. And he said, only then did I understand it is more blessed to give than receive. And here we've got God, who is the blessed God, who lavishes love and everything upon us, because he's a God who is moved by love, and as he loves, he gives. That's why church exists. I'm not talking about finance here. I'm talking about time and money and energy and everything else that kind of makes church really, really happen. And the blessed God is just absolutely fantastic. There's 500 verses in the Bible about prayer. There's 500 about faith. There's 2,000 verses regarding money and possessions. And the reason why I'm mentioning all this is because it does make the world go round. That's why we live. It's why we work. It's why we go out to work. We can't live without money. Just 1 year before I came here, God put me in a position where I couldn't do anything but trust him. I ain't got time to tell you about this in depth, but I could not move. And I said, God, what are you doing? And the Lord said to me, just wait. Be patient. I'm teaching you something that you've only known in your head, not in your heart. And over that year's period, God blessed me in measures I have never known before. And I did nothing. And what God taught me during that time is this, is that, Pete, I own everything. I own it all. And I'm going to gift you because I love you. I want you to trust me. And you know something? During that time, God taught me such a lot about a God who constantly gives to us. He never fails. He never lets us down. And yet, for some reason, when you and I look back and we know he's been faithful and we know that this blessed God constantly gives to us, sometimes we still go through them times where we doubt him, don't we? We still struggle because it's new. It's a new challenge. It's a new season. But folks, I believe that God is going to really renew us this year. He's going to revive us this year. He's going to refresh us this year as we learn more of him. Jesus teaches a lot about the matter of giving and possessions and finances. And again, it's because that money is often a test. The money that I've got in the bank don't belong to me. It's took me a while to learn that. It actually belongs to him. Why did God create giving? That's another question that comes to mind. To support his work? Is God running out of resources? Has he run out of the gold paving slabs in heaven? Listen to this. God didn't create giving for him, but he created it for us. And by us giving, he worked out of our life selfishness and greed. Wow, goodness me. What am I saying through all this? I'm saying that God is calling us to be like him. God is calling you and I constantly to be like him. There's a company in America. I'm actually talking to this guy, the CEO of this company, but it's a Christian organization called Generous Giving. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of this, but I would have kind of really pulled toward this company. And I phoned this guy up, Todd, and I said, I've heard a lot about you. And he said, what do you want to know? I said, well, can you tell me how it all started? So he told me about this company starting, a Christian company that give away millions and millions of pounds to God's work all over planet Earth every year. And what these companies do, they do reverse tithing. So instead of kind of tithing 10%, they tithe 90% and live off 10. I mean, they are turning over like $75 million a year, so I think I could beat that. I think I could live off 5%. But I thought, wow, here again, we've got these guys who are turning over $75 million a year, and they're doing reverse tithing. And it's not what I'm getting at, folks. It's not the money aspect. It's the motive. It's the whole motive of why you and I give, why we do what we do. Tithings, first fruits, offerings. In fact, again, doing a little bit of study about this, you're looking at all in the Old Testament, especially, it's 33%. Because the people of God are constantly giving. Can you remember Elijah? When he was told to go to the widow, and God said to him, there, I'm going to provide for you. And when he gets there's nothing there. But Elijah knows that God's going to provide. Just stick with me. Just stay with me in this. Here we've got this widow and her son, and they've got the last meal. They're on the last meal. And then Elijah said to this woman, make me first. He represented God. In other words, he was saying, put God first. And so this meal that she was preparing for her and her son, the last meal, she gave it over to God. She gave it to this Elijah who represented God. And then God did a miracle. It's the whole motive of being like God, of wanting to give. Again, I was thinking of the 5 loaves and the 2 fish in the New Testament, in Luke chapter 9. This is what Jesus said to them. Give them something to eat. And then they come back and they said these words. All we have is this. All we've got is 5 loaves and 2 fish. All we've got is a kind of a little snack from this young lad. This is all we've got. A bit of strategy, a bit of organizing, sat in groups of 50, and all of a sudden, heaven were involved here. Father God, Jesus blessed and he broke it, and then he gave. And then right at the end, you'll find that it says that they were all filled, just from 5 loaves and 2 fish, with 12 baskets full. Now, whether that were a basket for each disciple, I have no idea. Maybe that's just a thought. But here's the principle. Something must be blessed before it can be multiplied. Or in other words, it has to be given to the Lord first. The lesson? Here we go. Jesus, do you know how big this is? We've got all these people to feed with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Surely you could pray a bit longer than what you did. Because he didn't really pray long, did he? But the blesser had blessed it. But this is where the miracle happened. The miracle happened in the hands of the disciples. Where? When they gave it away. The principle and the lesson. It is when you and I, when we purposely give things to God, and then we absolutely give it away. God is the blessed God. He's never going to run out of resources. He's never going to run out of gold paving slabs in heaven. He already owns it all. And whatever God is going to call us to and into this new year will require you and I being so blessed that whatever we are and whatever we have, we're just going to give it to God. Whatever he calls us to do, we're just going to do it. Why? Because he's Lord. And we want his blessing, don't we? Amen. I don't know about you. I want to be blessed of God, and I want to be a blessing to other people. You remember the woman who brought the alabaster box of ointment to Jesus. Again, this is just a lovely reminder. The cost of it was maybe 1 year's wage. The ointment were expensive. But she, in an extravagant way, poured it out upon Jesus. 1 year's wage. Wow, that's quite a lot of money. I wonder what we're going through in mind. I hope he knows how much this has cost me. Or maybe this will make me world famous. And when you and I read about this lady, all she was doing, she wasn't thinking about the cost. She wasn't thinking about how much. She was thinking about how do I express my love for him. That's what she was doing. How do I express my love for Jesus? So generosity, it doesn't give to get. When you and I give, I'm not talking about just financially, I'm talking about life, I'm talking about effort and energy. We don't give to get. You and I give because we give. We love to give. This is why it says that God loves a cheerful giver. I remember a guy years ago saying that I can put £10 more cheerfully into the collection plate than I can 100. Maybe some of us are like that. Remember David Hamilton? Let me just tell you a little story about David, just living by faith. Every time God tells him to do something, he kind of goes off and he does it. He's got a bunch of guys that really surround him and pray for him. They love him and they're constantly blessing him. And they said to him one day, Dave, what car would you dream of driving? And he said, I'd love a BMX 5. Nice cars, aren't they? They're lovely. And he says, oh, no, it's not going to happen. He said, it's just a dream. Anyway, a few weeks afterwards, they went on a walk and they were coming past a garage, a car garage. And one of the guys said, hey, Dave, he said, we've got you a BM. He says, oh, yeah, all right, pull the other one. He says, no, seriously. He says, we've bought you a BM. And one of the guys pulled out one of them matchbox BMW 5 cars. And he gave it to Dave. And Dave just thought it was really, really funny. And then the other guy said, Dave, I want you to stop. He says, because you see that silver one there in the car park? He says, that's yours. He says, we bought it for you. God bless you, mate. You're doing a great job. He said, I didn't know what to do. He said, it took me absolutely days for that to sink in. But again, it's just loving to bless each other. If you get a text from me, this is what you'll find at the bottom, usually, of my text. It'll either say, grace and peace, But mostly it'll say, live blessed. Live blessed. There's no excuse for us not to, because God is pouring out into our lives all the time. Luke chapter 6 and verses 36 to 39. It's kind of looking at the principle of giving. If you've got a Bible, let's just turn to this as just we bring things to a close. A God who blesses us. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Verses 36 to 39. One of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, so he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating. Sorry, that is not the right one. I think we need to go back. Just hold on. No, sorry. Just skip that one. It's not the one. It's not the one I'm looking for. I'm looking for that verse where it talks about being pressed together, shaken, pressed down, overflowing, and running over. A lot of people would just think that that's finance. Okay? Where is it, Val? Sorry? Verse 39, sorry. The principle of giving. Eric, can you just read that verse out? Then verses out, please.
Judge not and you will not be judged. Condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give it and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you.
What is that actually talking about? What would you say it is? Just looking at that verse, what would you say it was? Because it's not just talking about finance and money. Even though we want to give, but we don't want to give because we know that God's going to reward, even though he is a rewarder. But it talks about there in that first part about when we're judging and when we're not forgiving and when we're condemning. In other words, it's saying, if you're condemned, then expect that in a big bulk to come your way. It's not just here talking about giving. There's a story of an Indian prince. And this Indian prince, he's got a massive procession in some part of India. There's hundreds of people behind him, and he's sat on his elephant in all his array, and people are worshipping this prince. And this prince gets off his elephant and he goes right to the back of the procession and he comes to a beggar and he puts his hand out to the beggar. And this beggar thinks, why on earth is he asking me for my pot of rice? But thinking to himself, I don't really want to appear rude in front of all of these thousands of people, so I better give him something. So this beggar puts his fingers in his bowl and he brings out 3 pieces of rice. And he drops that into the prince's hand. And the prince gratefully receives that. And then the prince walks on, gets back on his big, beautiful elephant, and passes on. Right at the back is a few guys carrying a big chest. And when they get to this beggar, one of them opens up this big chest, puts his hand in, and gives the beggar 3 gold coins. I am so glad that in many, many ways, God don't treat us like that. And yet here, as we look at verse 39, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, it's exactly the same with condemnation and forgiveness. It will be given back to you. I've mentioned all this morning, looking at God who is blessed, God who owns everything, God who owns our bank balances, God who owns our homes, God who owns us, he owns it all, absolutely everything. He can bless us, he can even take it away. But what I'm driving home this morning is motive. I'm not talking about the amount, I'm not talking about maybe the little bit or a lot that we give to church. I'm talking about motive. Listen to Proverbs. Out of the heart flow the issues of life. Out of within. God lives within us. We've got every spiritual blessing in Christ. But motive is key. Motive is so, so important. Why should we give? Because it shows what God is like. Why should we be loving? Because it shows what God is like. Why should we be blessed and be a blessing? Because it shows what God is like. It's beautiful, isn't it, really? Let's just close. Let's close with prayer, and then we'll sing our final song. Let's pray. Father, when we come into your presence and we acknowledge your lordship over every part of our life, all the material stuff, Lord, that we have and that we've wanted and we've got, it just doesn't even begin to compare with who you are. And so we pray that, Lord, that as we enter into this new year, that we would get to know this blessed God who reigns and showers upon us every day. And that, Lord, whatever you're calling us to do, whatever you're calling us to give, help us to do that cheerfully. Because, Lord, you tell us in your word, you love a cheerful giver, whether that's money or time or whatever we're going to be doing. And so, Father, thank you that you're so much bigger, so much greater than what we know. We ask you if you'll just continue to teach us about this side of your character, the blessed God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.